You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table.
Hi, I'm Ferris.
And I'm your host, Brad, and we're all that's here today in Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak to talk about multiplayer games. So, today's topic, we have always been playing games for a long time, and multiplayer throughout the decade, well, the past couple decades, has changed drastically on how it goes in games.
It's gone from the concept of being, oh yeah, let's play this game together, but we have one controller, to the addition of a secondary controller, to even going to the idea of playing on singular systems across a thing called an internet.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's been referred to as an interweb. I think that works a little bit better, but who knows? Wonder what happened to World Wide Web. That just kind of dropped.
Now, it's still used sometimes.
Somewhere.
Mostly in business meetings.
Oh, good.
Yeah, where it belongs.
Yeah. But yeah, like the idea of multiplayer, like it's something that a lot of people just really have bonded over. Something a lot of people bonded over, a lot of people have had their fun with. When you can play a game with your friend, instead of passing a controller, you two can sit down with your own individual controller and fight one another, play the game together.
Have to be in the same room or the same country.
Yeah. I have some friends that are out of the country that way too.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's insane thing because I remember back in the day doing Mario Kart on the Nintendo 64 where it's like, okay, you bring your controller over and then we can play two-player on it. And because nobody owned more than one controller unless you had siblings.
Or rich.
Yeah, pretty much.
Games are people complain that they're expensive now, but they were new cheaper back when
they first came out. They were $70 for a Nintendo 64 controller, if I recall correctly.
To put it in perspective, the Atari 2600 was, I believe, $300 in 70s money, which is like $900 right now. So, video games are nowhere near as expensive. They're not as expensive now as they were. So,
When it came to having a second controller, it was always that like third party weird controller.
Yeah, it's like, I get the good one. You get the one that, my dog kind of bit it and the thumbstick doesn't exist, but you're good, right?
It also has a turbo button for some reason. You never know what it does.
Never could use a turbo button.
Right.
My fight stick has a turbo button. And to this day, I don't know what it does.
It's a placebo effect button. It's just like, look, you can turn it on turbo.
It's like scroll lock. What does that do?
Let's just pretend it does something for a little bit here.
Yeah.
You had the broken controller that the dog chewed up, and you're just like, here, you can have this one. The analog stick's missing. Yeah, you can just,
My favorite experience was that. So I played a lot of multiplayer games when I was younger because me and my dad, that was like our way of bonding. So we played like Soul Calibur on like Dreamcast. And I also got exposed to online gaming with Unreal Tournament on the Dreamcast. Which that's saying something back in the 90s. You know, it has a dial-up modem in the back of it.
That was pre-Xbox Live.
That was SegaNet.
Yeah, that's right. SegaNet. I was trying to remember what it was called.
And then, like, when I got my original Xbox, that's the beauty. Because going off of the weird controller, so it wasn't even a weird controller. It was the actual controller. They realized it looked stupid, and they made a new one. So the Duke.
We
got the Xbox when I had the Duke still. And my dad was like, yeah, you can play Halo, right? And I was like, I'm like eight. I can't. These hands are not big enough. So then, introduction of a first-party bad multiplayer controller. Like, there we go. Microsoft, they swung it in. So, yeah, but like with the Xbox, like what was it? It was the first system that kind of made online gaming mainstream, wasn't it?
It was because the Dreamcast had online functionality, but it was locked to having that modem adapter.
Well, no, it was already built into it.
Oh, was it built into it?
It was just weird.
Oh, the GameCube was the one that needed that modem adapter.
It was built into it, but it was dial-up. So obviously at that time, you were like, okay, either I use my phone or the internet.
So, I mean, I still remember those days on PC where, Mom, get off the phone!
I got in a lot of trouble with that. Because my mom she's a chatty Cathy. She still is. So it would be a situation where she would like take her daily nap. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to get on Cool Math Games. I'm a great time. And one of her friends would call during that time and they would hear the busy noise. And then I thought I got away scot-free. And then I come back a couple days later. Yeah, one of my friends called and they couldn't get through. It said it was a busy noise. Were you on the computer? On the internet? No.
How dare you?
So yeah, like it was a weird time for the Sega. And then, like, as I said, like, Xbox, I think, started it.
It really kicked it off, if anything. Mm-hmm. Halo and Xbox Live really kicked off the mm-hmm. whole online gaming scene.
Yeah.
And then Counter-Strike just took it and kept running with it.
Yeah, because I think Counter-Strike, they actually had a version of Counter-Strike on Xbox.
There was.
Yeah. It was a version, I don't think it did well compared to Halo and all that.
It didn't do too well. Counter-Strike mm-hmm. did a lot better on the PC,
yeah.
where it was already there. But when it came to gaming on the Xbox, it was kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Halo just kind of came in, brought it forward, and then everybody was like, oh, well, I already have an Xbox. I'll just get Counter-Strike on the Xbox and play that.
Mm-hmm.
So pre-Halo, Counter-Strike on the Xbox was nothing.
Yeah, true. It was at least something to, I guess, try. What is it? And then, like, even going off the idea, like, what is it? Unreal Tournament. Like, Unreal Tournament in general in the gaming / multiplayer world has made nothing but waves. It is.
Unreal 2K or 2004. 2004.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unreal Championship 2004, yeah. Yeah. For the original Xbox. Well, PC too.
Yeah. I remember doing LAN parties with that when on PC back in 2012 still. That game holds up.
I play Unreal Tournament 1. Probably on a weekly basis on PC. So
is there still a community for it?
Uh-huh. It's all community at this point. It's definitely not Epic supporting it. But yeah, no, I still play it. Well, I guess weekly is a little bit of an exaggeration, but I still play it fairly quickly or fairly often. And yeah, it holds up really well. I mean, like, you do get some points where it's like, wow, this game is like, that's from 1999.
Yeah,
but
this is dated.
It still plays well. And there's even, like, I think a newer Unreal in development, like Unreal Tournament 4 is what it's called. It's been in beta for, like, 3 years, though.
Yeah, they've been kind of teasing it because Unreal Tournament 3 came out in, like, 2007 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird Gears of War.
Yeah. It looked beautiful at the time, but I remember playing it and then going, okay, well, we can still play 2004, right?
It's like, still play that one, right? Yeah. Sure, cool.
Let's go – just go back to that one.
And then, like – what is it? Even circling around to what some of the games have made like waves with like versus. So like on top of the whole like, oh, you're playing with people online and stuff like that. Like example, like Smash Bros. That mm-hmm. was like one of the first games that kind of had used the party fighting concept.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like just, you know, you're playing against one another with one controller in hand. It's like now you're playing against your friends up to four or however many the game's allowed. At once, going crazy, pissing each other off, whichever way you want to do it. Yeah. Power Stone kind of did it first, but
Nintendo
Stone.
Really pushed it with the Nintendo 64 when it mm-hmm. came to multiplayer games because it had four ports.
Yep.
And it was going up against the Sega Genesis and the PlayStation, which only had two ports.
Yep.
So Nintendo really, like Mario Kart, Mario Party, mm-hmm. all, of course, first-party games.
Mm-hmm.
And they always push that, like, multiplayer standpoint of, hey, you can play the game by yourself, or you can plug in a couple more controllers, grab your buddies, and you can all hate each other for the rest of the night.
Exactly. Like Mario Party, it ends friendships. That is the game itself. Yeah. So
I just want to know a tally count of how many friendships have ended because of Nintendo.
I have, at least in my time of playing Mario Party, I have at least contemplated losing all my friends in that it almost every time I played.
Oh,
because something silly happened.
Most of the time, it was one of those random chance things that you couldn't even control. Where it's like, I'm not going to talk to you for a couple weeks now because that just happened.
Yeah, like what is it? Mario Party 2 was the first game that introduced the idea of random block stars.
Yes.
So you could just step on a square. Oh no, a random block. Punch it, star. Oh, awesome. And then they could run up to the next one. So they could just successfully get two stars in like 2 seconds.
Or you have that friend that does the swap places like when you're one turn away mm-hmm. from getting a star. And you're like, oh, I'm going to murder you. You're
I'm
gonna dead.
I'm going to murder you.
I'm going to strangle you with the cable from your own controller.
I hope you don't like that fish. but yeah, like Nintendo was like really pushing a lot of their online multiplayer. Like they even tried to deal with the GameCube because Phantasy Star. Which
yeah.
is one of the bigger, like, MMOs.
That was the only online game besides, what was it, Snake or the Metal Gear Solid 3 had some?
Not on the GameCube.
Not on the GameCube?
It was only Metal Gear Solid 2 and 1
oh, okay.
on GameCube. I actually don't remember what the other game is that is online. I think Phantasy Star was the only game that was online on the GameCube, at least here in the States.
I know that they sold the modem adapter with it.
Yeah, I think it was Phantasy Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't... Yeah, I don't remember there being another online game, but I just know that was a really popular one enough to be like, hey, let's make a modem adapter for your GameCube, which I have one. Have I ever used it? No.
I just
have it. So, but yeah, like speaking of like MMOs and stuff like that, like what was it? Phantasy Star was one of the bigger ones. It was popular in Dreamcast. Dreamcast was a great system. Like it's power. Go back to that. Like it was great for online. And the games.
The games for the Dream. The Dreamcast lived just long enough to get a perfect collection of games on mm-hmm. it that everybody can go, I remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like
until it got downloaded into obscurity.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, the PS2 killed it with its ability to play DVDs.
Yeah. People were like, well, I could pay $300 to get a DVD player, which is booming, and play games. Yeah. Sure, why not?
$300 for this game system that plays DVDs or this $500 DVD player? I guess I'll buy a PS2.
I mean, PlayStation's always done that, like especially with the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
What is it with their PS3s? It's like, oh, you pay $700 for that or $800 for a Blu-ray player? Wow, I'm going to just get a PS3. So, but yeah, like – Phantasy Star was one of the popular ones. Was it EverQuest on PC? What is it? EVE Online?
Final Fantasy 12?
Or 11. 11 and 14 are the bigger ones.
Because 11 was on the PS2 online.
Mm-hmm. PS2 and 360.
Yeah, that was a weird combination. Mm-hmm. Because if I recall correctly, you could actually play with people on the other console as well.
Yeah, they did that with the Phantasy Star games too. So it was Phantasy Star Universe was the first, what it was called. You could play it on PS2, PC, and also 360. And you could play between all three of those.
Okay.
And it was weird because Phantasy Star Universe came out like a year before. Like it didn't come out on the 360 until like 2 years after it did on the PS2. But it still obviously had a community and you could play with PC or PS2. And then now 360's added into the mix. Wish that game didn't die because I played it quite a bit, but I think it died in like 2010 or something like that.
See, the problem with those MMOs is they die not because of the community.
It's the company just doesn't want to support it anymore.
Right. They mm-hmm. decide to shut down the servers because I remember there was Tabula Rasa, if you remember that one.
Mm, no.
It was the one done by Richard Garrison.
Richard Garrison.
Yes. The guy that went to space.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I know who it is, but he created this game and it was popular, but it wasn't popular enough to the company that was supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
So they pretty much just shut it down. And I think on the last day that the servers were up, everybody that had an account was logged in because they were just trying to like protest of don't shut down the game and everything like that. And it showed that there was a huge want for the game to continue, and the company was still like, yeah, and shutting down the server now.
Mm-hmm. What is it? They did that. Even World of Warcraft, which is one of the bigger ones, probably the biggest at this point. They have a lot of like older servers that did that. Like, so like example, they had a lot of, I can't remember the names of the servers, but they had ones that were retro servers. So you could play like an older update of the game. So like you could play like the vanilla version of World of Warcraft without DLC, or you play with, oh, it has now Burning Crusade, or oh, this has Lich King.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up getting rid of them. And a lot of you remember there was a big backlash in the community. They ended up bringing them back like as an official thing from Blizzard because of it.
Yeah. Well, I remember their thing was they were pirating it basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because they were using an older version of the game and all you had to do was just buy World of Warcraft.
Well, they were creating a lot of those was created because of private servers where people were like, oh, I'm going to host my own World of Warcraft server and people would connect to it for free and be mm-hmm. able to play the game. And the interesting thing about World of Warcraft that I never knew, because all the text and everything in the game is hosted on the server side in a constantly updating format. So if you create your own private server for World of Warcraft, all the text is missing. So I remember back in the day creating my own private server to kind of mess around with stuff and everything like that. And you go up and you'd be like, oh, all the text and everything in this game is just missing. Why is that? Look it up. Oh, it's because it's all held server side, running at a constant update, so nobody would be able to download it all.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's some weird anti-piracy kind of.
Yeah.
But it worked.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Blizzard has the money and they can just go throw a server room with all the text for your game.
Yes.
In a building somewhere.
They could update the notepad file every 10 seconds with just one small change, enough to make it so nobody would be able to get it.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
And it was Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa. Yes.
I've still never heard of it.
Look it up sometime. Okay. It was an interesting – it was one of the first, like, super hyper-realistic choose-your-own-character kind of mm-hmm. online games. Because most of them had that cartoony look like EverQuest and World of Warcraft and everything like that. Mm-hmm. This was the first one where it was like, oh, and then you can put your mole on your character wherever you want.
Oh, wow.
You can adjust the freckles however you want and stuff like that. Like, you could create your character beyond Skyrim levels of, mm-hmm. you know, customizability in this online game. And it was from 2007.
Wow, yeah.
Like, that was what it was best known for.
What is it I was going to say? Oh, wow. I completely forgot what I was going to say here. yeah, no, but like even like something speaking on like the super realism, like, you know, Second Life, that was a game where like its name really held up to what it was saying. Like,
oh,
it was
yeah.
a Second Life. A lot of people, you know, you could create a character whoever you want. You could be some tall giant who's blue. You could be some really short dwarf who's purple, or you could just be a regular human and you can go there and do whatever you want. It's just day to day normal things. You could be someone who, you know, runs a nightclub. You could be someone who runs a food store and stuff like that and just live your life there.
I remember somebody at the old computer store I used to work at mm-hmm. was a customer that would come in, and he made a living on Second Life. Like, that's what he did, is he played Second Life and he would create stuff in the game and sell it in the game for real money.
Wow.
Yeah. And he made a nice living at the time just playing a computer game like that.
I mean, a lot of people did that with RuneScape.
Oh, yeah. RuneScape, that is... That brings back middle school memories.
You know, the funny thing is I never got into the craze of RuneScape.
Really?
When people talk about it, like, they're like, oh, man, like, I can't wait to go play some OSRS. And I was like, what's that? And it was like, old school RuneScape. And I was like, they updated it? It looks the same. But, yeah, like, no, I know RuneScape. It's one of the more popular ones because, obviously, it's free. Every computer could play it.
Well, like, it ran in the web browser. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have to install it.
Yeah. I'm surprised I never went to the route of doing a phone app for it.
I'm pretty sure if it was made like in this day and age, it would have been a phone app. Because I remember playing it on miniclip.com.
Wow.
If anybody even remembers that site.
Trials HD, anyone?
Yeah. But that RuneScape was that big game for a while, especially for people in school, and because you could pull it up on any computer. And I remember when the school started blocking it and everybody was like, oh, yeah, you can still access it through this website, you know, because they'd block runescape.com and then they'd block Miniclip and then they'd block the third website everybody would use to get to it and the fourth one. And everybody would always have a new site mm-hmm. to get to it. So it was that perpetual game that the school was going, we can't block this. People keep finding another way.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's definitely one of the bigger ones, mainly because what is it? Like, I mean, as we've already gone over, it's free to play. It was super accessible. Like, I want to say, like, there was a guy who actually used to come into my work, and he would buy like $150 worth of like RuneScape memberships, right? And apparently there's like a specific thing you can get on the RuneScape membership that you can only get that way, and you could sell it to people for more than what your membership costs, pay for your membership, and then also gain money off of it.
Yeah, I remember there was like a $15 a year membership fee if mm-hmm. you wanted to get into like some locked areas that had exclusive items.
Mm-hmm. And he would do that. Like, he would just buy a whole bunch of them, and it would give him obviously years at a time of what he's doing. But they don't allow him to get all this extra stuff where he would just come on back with the extra money he made off of it, go do it all over again. Like, I think he had like 20 plus years easily. Jeez. Of like RuneScape. I was like, dude, are you even gonna? It's not even gonna be up that long.
It's gonna be gone before your subscription ends.
It's gonna be gone, and I'm surprised it's still around. But I know they've made some decent updates to make it more modernized. So
I looked into it a couple years back. I'm sure it's updated again since then. But it did look beautiful for like a web platform or like a web browser game mm-hmm. at that time. I even remember going, huh. Man, I should start playing. No, I'm not going to jump into that.
We're not doing this again. Nope.
This was a trap last time. I'm not falling for it again.
Yeah. And then what is it? I felt that way about, I guess, the early stages of World of Warcraft for me. Because my dad's a huge World of Warcraft player. Like, he's been playing since vanilla. And he owns all of the collector's editions that exist of the game. Like, I remember when Lich King was coming out, it was a school night, and I had to sit there in the car, keep it warm while he was out talking to these nerds about World of Warcraft. I remember I killed the battery too, so he was upset because he couldn't get home. So he was like, we didn't get home for like 2 more hours. He's super angry. But in my mind, I'm like, I get to sleep. But yeah, I remember like in the early days of World of Warcraft, I would play on like my dad's MacBook and I would just play there for hours and hours on end. Did I know what I was doing? Not at all. Like I was just playing. I was like, yeah, I'll get to level 20. All right, let's get to level 20. Like it just, I kept going to whatever milestone it was. Like I ended up dropping off of the game like around level 40 because I was just like, I need to stop playing this. See, but
I remember playing vanilla World of Warcraft and leveling up in that game was horrible. Trying to get just like the first 5 levels were like, oh yeah, I did that afternoon. And then to get to level 6, it was like a week later. And to get to level 7 was like 2 weeks later. And then to get to like level 10, it was almost like 6 months after I started playing. And it's like, this is bad. But I can't stop playing this.
Yeah.
And then they like introduced the mounts and stuff like that so you could run faster. And I remember going, well, I wanted that years ago. Why couldn't we have that before?
Yeah, and I remember when they introduced the idea of like, oh, play to level 20 for free.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I'm assuming it's probably because people were complaining about how long it took to get to level 20, and like their free trial would only show them maybe a little tiny bit of the game. And they're like, all right, well, I don't want to pay for 2 months just to experience what the game's about. I want to be able to figure it out in 1 month.
I mean, so that was a newer feature that they did just kind of recently.
Back in 2010.
Did they do it back in 2010? Okay. Because I remember there was like the 15-day free trial. And then I remember when it first kind of started, or it wasn't right when it started, but a little bit after it started, they were doing that. Here's a 30-day trial for it. And the codes were, it wasn't a singular code that you just enter in and it gave you the 30-day free trial. It was 30 days of game time they were giving away as trials. So I remember going to, they were passing them out at like Target or something. And I remember just taking a stack of them for the free trial of 30 days and just, well, I guess I got a year and a half of World of Warcraft time now.
It's time to get this going.
Time to get this. It was a pain entering in every single 30-day code.
Oh, yes. Because I think they're like, I think they are 30-digit codes. I want to say, yeah, 25 or 30.
They were long codes still. And I think it was funny because they would have the free ones right next to the 60-day membership kind of ones for like $30 for 60 days. And it's like, I'm just going to take a couple of these free ones because they stacked on top of each other. I don't think they were supposed to.
No, I don't think they thought it through. They weren't expecting random Brad to go in and take all the trial codes, no.
To run into Target and just gleefully running away with all the codes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely one of my favorite experiences of playing WoW. It was just like the camaraderie I got with people and like the world I was exploring, because it was just in its time, like it was a huge world that not many people thought they were going to be playing.
Oh yeah.
Or anything like that. But like I wouldn't say it's my favorite multiplayer game though. What would you say your favorite one is?
A favorite multiplayer game? It depends on what category, because there's different categories to it.
Okay.
In terms of like a racing game, Sonic All-Stars 100% is my favorite like party racing game.
Okay.
Then if you get into like online MMO, I'm trying to think of what game I've put the most time into, but it would be World of Warcraft. It would have, for online MMO, it would be World of Warcraft was the one that I've sunk the most time into. And that's knowing that I played RuneScape for all of my middle school.
Right. What is it? Like, if I have to go off of it, like, I guess my favorite, like, sitting down and playing with people kind of thing, it would be Fusion Frenzy. I don't know if you've ever played that.
I don't remember that
one. It's an original Xbox game. It's an original Xbox party game. It's so it was super obscure, but like it was like you could still get it. It was actually a fairly popular one. But like it was a party-based game where like you would have all kinds of different things. It was 4 people kind of top down like Power Stone, and you're just going through doing stuff. Like example, there would be one where it's like a corkscrew kind of spinning into like a drain, and you have to either jump over the little low things or you have to duck under the higher ones, and that's just it. So it's like either press A or B at the right time. Kind of like what Shy Guy says with A or B at the right time.
Okay.
And then like they had all kinds of stuff where like you guys are in metal balls and you have to knock each other off a platform. It was very close to a Mario Party, but for Xbox. And like I played the crap out of that. Like me and my dad would either play it against one another, or like I would bring it over a friend's house and we would play it there. So it sucked because they re-released it on the – well, they not re-released. They made a secondary game for Fusion Frenzy 2 on their 360. was nowhere near as good. If I had to go off my favorite racing game, this is going to be a cool one. So I guess it's still very obscure, but Blur.
See, oh my God, Blur? Mm-hmm. That's the one that was done by Disney, isn't it?
I don't think Blur was done by Disney.
Hold
on. It's just that it was literally Mario Kart, but with real cars. So you could drive around a Lamborghini or a Mustang or, you know, a Koenigsegg, and you're shooting Mario-esque power-ups at one another and they even have arena battles and stuff like that.
No, it was Activision. There was one that I remember made by Disney that was very similar to it, though.
I can't remember right now, but yeah, like that's one of my like favorite like competitive like racing games. I guess if I go by like the fighting idea, it's a tie between Street Fighter or Soul Calibur. I don't really know which one. I guess I can categorize them because they're both 2D and 3D. I guess that's my way I'm going to do it. Like Street Fighter is my favorite 2D one, and Soul Calibur is my favorite 3D one. That's what I'm excited for, Soul Calibur 3. And not 3, 6.
When it comes to fighting games, mm-hmm. Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3.
Yeah.
That just mm-hmm. hands down. If you were to go, you need to beat somebody in a fighting game. First off, that's the only one that I think I could ever stand a chance of mm-hmm. defeating somebody with, mm-hmm. besides BlazBlue, and I'm just kind of rolling my hand around the controller.
Just like, just die, please.
just hopefully this wins.
Yeah, no, Budokai 3, I mean, obviously that was a time where you weren't recording what you were playing, but like, or no. recording how much time you played, but like, I knew I put almost 2 years in actual play time into that game because I was that kid that didn't have the modern systems right when they were coming out. So I had to cherish what was old. And Budokai 3, I remember when I got it, I didn't play with any friends. I sat there and played that story until I couldn't play it any longer.
The fact you could play the story mode as multiple characters mm-hmm. and everything. If that game had online, I'm sad that they didn't add online functionality with that HD recollection.
The HD recollection wasn't that great, though, to be completely honest.
I still played through it in Platinum, both Budokai 3.
What is it like? It's actually Budokai 1 actually gave me my love for Super Trunks. So a lot of people don't know the difference between the Supers, but I'll explain it, I guess, quickly.
He could turn at 3 charge levels. Yeah, so he could turn right at the beginning of the match. You could just go right to Super Saiyan.
Yeah. So, like, I guess to explain the differences real quick. So, like, with Super Saiyan and stuff like that in Dragon Ball, like, there's Super Saiyan, Ascended Super Saiyan, Super version of that character. Then there's Super Saiyan 2, 3, and 4. And then there's God because of, you know, the newer series. But Super Trunks, to people that kind of remember it, that's the super buff version of Trunks when he was fighting Cell. Like those two meatheads when Vegeta and Trunks figured out how to do the super versions of one another. But they were super – they were just meat hunks. They couldn't do anything. Yeah. They were strong. Like when it touched you, you more or less evaporated. But they couldn't move because they were too big. But that like that was the game where I was like, they're not hindered by what they really are hindered by. So they're fun characters to play. And then they never really appeared in anything else though.
Yeah, I always loved the scaling in Budokai where it was like, oh yeah, you have Super Saiyan Goku – Super Saiyan 2 Goku, and then it's Vegeta. Super Saiyan Vegeta? Super Vegeta? What's a Super Vegeta? Is that more or less than
yeah,
a Super
by
Saiyan?
That point, like, what is it? In that specific game, I don't think they went to... But Budokai 1 went to the end of the Cell Saga.
Yeah.
So by then...
Or Gohan was the only one that could go Super Saiyan mm-hmm. 2.
Gohan was the only one that could do it. And it was like, you had a... It was Ascended. You could do Ascended Super Saiyan as Vegeta... Well, not Vegeta, Goku, because they talked about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
But Vegeta couldn't do it because he didn't learn how to do it until he got taken over by Majin, or Babidi, rather. But yeah, no, like that game was weirdly scaled. And even playing the... What is it? Like the Dragon Ball... open world ones, like example, the Tenkaichi games. That one kind of sucked because you couldn't... Power up, you had to choose your character's level. So you're just like, oh, I want to play Super Saiyan 3 Goku. All right, I'm playing Super Saiyan 3 Goku. So.
I remember when Tenkaichi came out, and I was so excited for another Dragon Ball game. I remember buying it, playing it for one day, and going, yeah, I'm going to go back to Budokai 3. Mm-hmm. And I continued playing Budokai mm-hmm. 3. I remember my mom getting mad at me because I bought this new game so I could have it sit on a shelf and play the old
That's
one.
That's how I felt
I
about
had.
Dragon Ball Sagas, but I'm not even going to go into that one. We're not doing that.
That one was multiplayer, though.
It was multiplayer, but it was also not even one player. It was trash. But, like, yeah, to segue off of that, I'm just getting away from that completely. Like, my favorite shooter, it's a hard one. That's a hard conversation piece for me. I don't know if I can... You got to break that one down, too. It's like your favorite, like, co-op shooter is Borderlands. I would have to say that all day long is my favorite one. Favorite multiplayer, I don't know. I don't think I have an answer for it.
when it comes to multiplayer shooters, the problem is it's the shooter of the year. Whatever one is that year is the one everybody's playing. It's hard to be like, besides Counter-Strike, nothing really has survived more than 3 years.
Halo 3 did. Halo 3 lasted a long time. It was around
Halo 3 lasted past Halo 4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. And with their Master Chief Collection, it got even further. But yeah, like, it was a Halo 3 because that came out like 2007. And I didn't start playing Xbox until 2009. And it was still a lively community. Like, I can remember getting online and seeing how many people were on. It's like, oh, yeah, there's 500,000 people in the world playing. I was like, 2 years later? That's crazy.
Do you remember when they shut down the servers for Xbox Live officially?
Halo 2?
For just Xbox Live for the original Xbox.
I have a funny story about that one, but yes, I do remember it. What is it? It was Halo 2. They shut down that. I think Project Gotham Racing might have got shut down.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly.
And I remember people were like signing in like within the last 5 minutes to see how long they could stay signed in because Microsoft went, we're not going to boot people. We're just going to take away the login screen. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think there was one person that managed to stay on it.
Giant Bomb. There was a guy from Giant Bomb who was on the longest.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. It was a couple years after they took the login. Like, he was the only person online playing.
No. He wasn't years. He was on for, like example, it went down March of 2010. Because it was right before Reach came out.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy stayed on to like, about, like, July, August, because he just kept his Xbox on. And, like, the only reason he got offline is because there was a power surge and it turned his Xbox off. That's the only reason he would have – otherwise, he would have stayed on as long as they did until Microsoft was like, hey, get off.
Hey, buddy, we got to turn the server off. You're the only one connected still.
He's like, yeah, and I'm having fun. So
– I got the rocket launcher.
But, yeah, like, I guess to go off the story, so my first year of Xbox Live, I didn't pay for Xbox Live, at least for like the first year and a half. It was pretty bad. So obviously, like, I got the free month when I first got it. And then, like, I had my mom. She came by. She's like, oh, I'm going to give you like the Xbox Live starter kit, which is a hard drive, a headset, and 3 months. I was like, yeah, I'll take that. So then I didn't pay for Xbox Live for like another 3 months. So then I started playing Halo 2 online because it was still available, right? Started playing it. When they turned off the servers, Microsoft was like, hey, as a thank you, we're really sorry that we turned off the Halo servers. So we're going to give you 6 months of Xbox Live and then also access to Halo Reach's beta. And I was like, wait, what? Huh? I played for a night, not even a night, maybe 2 hours online for Halo 2. And they're like, here's 6 months. So, yeah, like I didn't pay for a lot of Xbox Live then. And then what happened is I got banned when the Halo Reach beta was happening, and I got wrongfully banned, so they gave me another 6 months.
Oh, that's perfect.
So I didn't pay for Xbox Live for quite a bit of time. It was probably my favorite multiplayer story. Not even like – that's not even multiplayer. It's the fact that I was playing for free, and everybody else was like, oh, like – I mean, obviously in that time, Xbox Live was cheap. It was like $7 a month or something like that, but it's just like
– I think it was like $50 for the whole year.
Yeah, it was like I'm sitting over here just cruising like, yeah, dude, I don't need Xbox Live. They gave it to me. I don't know what their problem is. But yeah, like, what is it? Halo 3. Like, I enjoyed playing that game a lot. Like, I played it for hours. I think, yeah, I played Halo 3 well into Halo Reach coming out. Like, I think I really stopped playing it by like 2011 because then like Call of Duty got introduced to me and then that was the end of my time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I played it until then. Halo Reach was pretty cool. Then I got introduced to Gears of War. That's where my big thing is. I don't know which one's my favorite between Gears of War or Halo.
See, I never got into Gears of War. It just was not my game.
It was a salt pile. It was so Halo was something you could play with your friends. You have all these creative modes or you play a story together, whatever. And then you get the Gears of War. It's like, oh, okay, two people can play together in a story and then you can play online. And it's just shotguns everywhere. That's all it was. It was just big, meaty metal boys flipping around doing shotguns. And that was the game. And it was just like, this is so weirdly unrealistic that I need to play more. And then it got to the point where it's just like everybody who's playing is just angry. Like, that was the only game I've ever played online. Like, I mean, I guess Mario Party has that concept where everyone's angry, but like Gears of War, I don't think there was ever a moment where someone played Gears of War and they were happy.
I can guarantee that because I know that I pissed off at least one person playing that game. One of my buddies owned an Xbox 360 and was like, hey, you got to play this game. I hadn't heard of it prior to that. He was like, yeah, you have like a shotgun with a chainsaw on the end of it. So as we're playing it, I don't think I used a single bullet in my playthrough of it. I just kept using the chainsaw. Mm-hmm. And we got to like one of the big bosses and everything. It was like, okay, so you got to actually shoot this guy. I was like, nah, I'm going to use the chainsaw. And of course we died. And I was like, I think I just got to sneak up on him with the chainsaw. No, you got to use bullets. No, I'm going to use the chainsaw.
Are you talking about General Rom? Yeah. Are you serious? Like, I just thought about that for a second. He was like, final boss. Rom, he can't eat. Oh my lord, I'm angry for him. Like, because you can't. He's got a shield of krill. The whole thing is going to shoot Turkbo at him, so he just the krill go away, and then you can shoot him. You can't hit him. The krill kill you.
It was so great. Like by the end of it, I think that his controller had like cracks in it from him gripping it so hard of just going, just shoot him, please. I want to finish this game. No, I think I can chainsaw him this time. It's the second, you know, we got so close last time.
I want to say like what is my old boss. He was like well known. Like that was his joke that people made about him is that like he can't play Gears of War. And he actually had to retire, air quotes, from Gears of War because he had such a bad anger issue. I think during the time he was playing Gears of War, he bought at least 20 controllers because he just kept breaking them. I was like, dude, take the game out. Stop.
Controllers
are not cheap. That's like $50 each time you get angry. Oh, man. That's terrible. So, yeah, like Gears of War, like, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Gears of War being my favorite multiplayer game because I put a lot of hours into it. Like Gears of War 2, I put quite a bit of time into. That's when I decided to get into the idea of clans online. And don't do that. It's a bad idea. Even if you think about it now, don't do it. And then Gears of War 3, like I put, oh my lord, so much time. I was playing that every night. That probably attributed to me at least failing 3 classes in high school. Like I was sitting there. Playing the living crap out of Gears of War 3. Then 4 came out and I was like, okay, go away.
Ferris, you need to turn in this report. Gears of War. That's all you put on the paper? Yes.
Yeah, I remember I was like, my parents were super easygoing. They let me miss school the day Gears of War 3 came out. Don't know why they let me do that one. I sat in that living room all day long playing Gears of War. And they're like, well, you know, like, you want to eat dinner? I don't know if I can. I got to play Gears of War. it was pretty bad. Gears of War was a fun one, to say the least, for me. And then if I like, I have to go with like my favorite I guess co-op/like mobile game. It would be Pokemon. It's got to be Pokemon.
Well, if you do just co-op, like story mode co-op, and I know this is going to be a very unpopular opinion on this one, but I had a blast with Resident Evil 5.
I love Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, if
Resident
you play
5
that,
is my favorite game.
Yeah, if you play it co-op, that game is so great.
It was just I loved annoying people.
Oh, that too.
Like,
yeah,
come on, hurry, come on. Like I just enjoyed doing that, but like, yeah, it was a really good co-op. People crapped all over it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I remember, like, it took me a while to actually sit down and play it. It took somebody actually going, hey, this is, like, one of my favorite games to play. I was like, I'll play that game. Let's play that game.
Mm-hmm.
And just going, this isn't as bad as everybody kept saying. Because it was, like, a year or two after, like, the gold version of the game with all the DLC and stuff had come out. So I don't know if when it came out, the mechanics were a little bit broken and they got fixed by then.
No, people just wanted to complain.
Yeah, because, yeah, I'll say, playing that game by yourself, I tried it. It's not as fun. But playing it co-op, that game is a blast.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm a devout Resident Evil fan when it comes to a lot of their games. Like, I mean, some of the older ones I can really skip on. Like, I can skip, you know, original Resident Evil. I can skip Zero.
You can skip the tank control Resident Evil.
Well, no, like I enjoy Veronica and I enjoy 2 and 3 and 4 is my favorite one of all time.
4 is just a, you know, it's the perfect game.
Yeah, more or less. And then like 5, I was sitting here like, whoa, dude, this plays exactly like 4. Yeah, I'm going to keep playing it. It had some control differences, but like I still enjoyed it. Like I liked it because I could change so many weapons. Like it was like the first game you had, or Resident Evil 4 rather, the first one with like its new concept of gameplay, like you had like 4 or 5 weapons of each tier, and that was it. Resident Evil 5, you had like 10 plus weapons of all kinds of different things. You had all these shotguns, all these pistols, all these sniper rifles, everything. So I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed the multiplayer. Like, it was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was
well, it was story multiplayer. So you could jump in and out of the game in the story at will.
Because each mission had like a lobby.
Yeah.
So like, it wasn't like, you could, like, it was drop in, drop out. You can literally just invite someone. But each mission had a lobby. So even if you were, like, completing up a mission, like, hey, man, just wait a couple minutes. Let me finish this mission, and I can just invite you real quick. And then it's literally you go to the next mission, they choose their loadout, and you go. And then that's it. It was one of the first of its kind. The Resident Evil 6 somehow ruined it.
Yeah, I remember.
Because it was, like, three-player co-op, not four.
Yeah, it was weird because I remember playing Resident Evil 5 up until the day 6 came out. Mm-hmm. And then playing 6 and going, this isn't as fun. How did they ruin this? It's the same game, but it's not fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you – it's hard to explain why, but it's not – how did you do this? Mm-hmm. It literally looks the same. It feels the same. It's like going from one restaurant, from a name brand to another restaurant. Same
going
name
from
and everything.
Hardee's to Carl's Jr.
Yeah. And just being like, how did you ruin this? This is the same thing.
Yeah. What is it? One of my bigger ones, I guess, like zombies related or like co-op story. Dead Rising 2.
That game was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the like create a weapon kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Right, because he was like zombie MacGyver.
Yeah. I always created the lightsaber. Flashlight and the diamonds.
I always did the eviscerator. So it was the sledgehammer and the axe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because in the first area, you can grab two of them. Like, you can grab enough axes and sledgehammers to make two. And it's, like, it was super durable, and it, like, one hit almost every zombie in the beginning of the game. So, but yeah, like, Dead Rising 2, like, and it had a lot of DLC. It was, like, you had Dead Rising 2. That was the base game. Before it came out, it was, like, Dead Rising 2 Case Zero, which that was co-op. And then you also could play, like, it was, like, $5, and it was, like, a mm-hmm. quick 400 gamer score. And then they had Dead Rising 2 Case West, which was one where it introduced Frank from the earlier games again. And then you did, like, a co-op mission in, like, this weird facility.
Yeah.
And it introduced like the photo concept too for a hot second. And then you had Case Off the Record. And then you got the one Frank as the main person, but it was in Dead Rising 2's world. So it was like photos and then crazy stuff. And then like,
I remember Off the Record when you play as Frank and Chuck, who is the main character of
becomes
two,
a crazy, yep.
is one of the crazies. And he has his daughter like on his bike.
He doesn't have a daughter. He has a
it's
has
a doll
stuffed
or something.
Because his daughter, because the reason why he went insane is because he didn't get Zombex to his daughter in time and she died.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Yeah, I remember Dead Rising 2 was annoying because of that whole thing of trying to
Dead
do
Rising
that.
Dead Rising 1 was worse.
Oh, Dead Rising 1 was nearly impossible to play.
Yeah, it's like I never knew what to do with anyone. I never understood how to fight bosses. Like I remember I had to look up actual like videos of how to fight the bosses in the game, and I still didn't understand it. I just like I'm done. I give up. But yeah, like it was a really cool multiplayer system. Unfortunately, it doesn't work on PC at all. Like Dead Rising 2 is broken on PC.
Well, yeah, it was made to be played with a controller.
You can't play with a controller on PC.
Right, and mm-hmm. it was made to be played with a controller.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
Mouse and keyboard does not work for that game.
Mm-mm. And then, like, Dead Rising 3 came out, and it's like somehow the concept just got messed up, and then...
Different studio.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened, is the Capcom Japan is what made Dead Rising and Dead Rising 2,
mm-hmm.
and they just put so much effort into making sure everything was usable. Dead mm-hmm. Rising 3, they kind of were like, oh, yeah, people want to use this golf club, and that's all for the sports store. What about the clothing store? Oh, one hanger? Okay, that should be all that's usable in there. And that kind of just ruined it.
Mm-hmm. And then 4 was just – I don't even think – 4 was co-op, but I didn't really care for it.
I don't think anybody cared about 4.
Because that's when they rebooted Frank. And
yeah.
And then, like, he was not the same. He looked different. His voice was different. I was like, why are you even trying at this point? So yeah, Dead Rising, it's a cool multiplayer series, especially for zombies and stuff like that. And on top of like Resident Evil, if you're into that niche, this is a unique one, and a lot of people don't know it. But the Tales series, the Tales of Vesperia, Legendia, and all that is multiplayer.
Really?
Multiplayer co-op.
Those are the JRPGs, right?
Mm-hmm. They're multiplayer. Tales of Symphonia, you can play with up to 4 people.
I never knew that those were multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. So obviously in the overworld, you're one person, right? But when you go into a battle, you can control each one of your party members with a controller. So if you wanted to, you could have like a friend who controls like the healing or the smart part of the battle if they wanted to. So you can like go through the game with a friend if you wanted to. You know?
So it was still turn-based and everything though, but it was just mm-hmm. somebody else always controlled that other character.
Mm-hmm. It was weird.
I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never guessed.
I didn't know it until later because then like I just had a controller in one day and I was like, wait, why isn't my character moving? And I was like, realized that he's not moving because the controller was plugged in and it was supposed to be manually done. So it was actually a weird one. Hmm. It was definitely a weird one. But like to kind of segue off of that one too, how do you feel about the idea of games going only multiplayer?
The games that were made to be only multiplayer, mm-hmm. like Counter-Strike mm-hmm. and Left 4 Dead.
And Overwatch. Is
and Overwatch. Yeah. They're great when mm-hmm. they're made to be, you know, online only. But then when you have the games that kind of try and shoehorn it when mm-hmm. it should be single player as well, like Star Wars Battlefront mm-hmm. started off as a single player game and then they shoehorned the multiplayer in it, mm-hmm. the new one. Mm-hmm. That just came out 3-4 years. How long has it been?
It was 3 years.
Yeah,
ago.
The newer mm-hmm. Star Wars Battlefront, and it completely ruined it because
it just tried to be a multiplayer game.
It just tried.
It didn't have enough content. It was like you were playing with four maps. Like, how do you make a multiplayer only game with that?
So when it's done right, 100%. Like Left 4 Dead is still one of my favorite mm-hmm. games to kind of party up with people randomly and
just
play.
Yeah.
Not even friends. Just be like, I'm going to jump into a random lobby and I'm going to have fun with this with mm-hmm. three other random people.
Yeah. What is it? Because the reason why I mention that is because the newer Call of Duties are trying to do that.
Yeah, so multiplayer like only.
Well, because there was a big fight over it because Modern Warfare 2 Remastered was supposed to be apparently happening this month, but I don't think that's happening anymore. But it was going to be single player only. And a lot of people were angry. It was like, why is it? Where's the multiplayer? Like, that's what people remembered about it. Mm-hmm. And then there was announcements that Black Ops 4 is going to be multiplayer only.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising. Well,
considering the Black Ops story, that's really surprising.
Yeah.
Black Ops has a really powerful story. So,
because I know Modern Warfare 2 and 3, the story mode, I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Modern Warfare 2 had a really good story. 3 was just eh. But they had really great multiplayer.
Well, I remember playing Modern Warfare and buying it for the story and then being like, oh, this has online too? I'm going to jump. Oh, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And with 2, it was just like, oh, this game comes with a story? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's like we don't actively look for it, but when the option's taken away, it's like, come on. I was going to play it.
I'm going to pretend that I was going to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. And then like even going the idea of like where we're going with games that are online only, like, you know, we're starting to dabble into the idea of Battle Royale, which is, you know, everyone drops onto an island or wherever, mm-hmm. 100 people all fighting for themselves, trying to get to the top spot of being the last
Fortnite, Player Unknown Battleground. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then even like, what is it, Radical Heights is a newer one by like Cliff Bleszinski, stuff like that. It's just like the idea of Battle Royale is now like a new thing. And like even games that are coming out that normally don't have multiplayers are going to have it. Like mm-hmm. Example, like Red Dead Redemption is going to have a Battle Royale.
Really?
Yeah. That's.
But why? I remember that game having a really good online.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was just cowboys. It was Grand Theft Auto Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, Grand Theft Auto, like, and that was one too. Is like, I wish Grand Theft Auto had a co-op story mode. I think that game would really do well if they had one. And more than likely, the next one would probably have it. But like when they introduced the idea of an online for Grand Theft Auto, it was something that like nobody thought they needed.
But it was so fun.
You couldn't stop playing it.
Right.
Like Grand Theft Auto 4 was amazing online. Like what is it? I played Grand Theft Auto 4 for hours and hours and hours on end. Like I remember buying the DLC just so I could have a parachute online. I remember paying $20. Sure, the DLC was cool, whatever. I mean, you know, Baldur's Gate, Tony, whatever. I was there for the parachute. I wanted to be able to jump out of something and not die when I hit the ground. So yeah, like it was the fact that I could take the gameplay style that I was normally doing, stealing people's cars, running people over, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but now I could do that with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grand Theft Auto Online, Grand Theft Auto 5 or Grand Theft Auto Online technically is what it's called.
Yeah, it basically was a separate game mm-hmm. at that point.
Yeah, like they got to the point where they made this fully developed game. We had three characters with an amazing story, and then you had this fully developed online that takes place in the same world, but you create your own character with its own storyline. You have all these different things you can level up. It was like an RPG almost.
It was a full game that they were like, oh yeah, we're just going to package that for free in with
Grand Theft Auto 5 and all the DLC free.
Yeah.
Like, and it's weird to say, like, I guess in the idea of perfect multiplayer and perfect game, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 might be it.
Yeah, I remember when companies were calling Rockstar idiots because they were pulling this move. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you over all this money that we're making from this decision. Mm-hmm. You continue on. Keep talking. I'm sure that you'll get through eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like Grand Theft Auto, like, even though it was a free-to-play concept, you know, they made it so they introduced – I mean, microtransactions, we're not going to talk about that, I guess. But, like, they introduced the idea of microtransactions, and it got to the point where, like, they were making crazy money off of it because people wanted to buy stuff in the multiplayer but not spend the time on it. So now they can buy money with money.
Yeah. Wasn't it, like, Shark Cash or mm-hmm. something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. You can buy Shark Cash with real cash. It's like you would pay, like, $20 and get, like, $500,000 in the game. Like, ooh. I knew people who would legitimately, like, oh, I got paid today. I need $100 in Shark Cash. Like, what? What? No. Stop. No. This is gambling. Stop. But yeah, like, it is – that multiplayer was memorable. Red Dead Redemption, I mean, it's literally the same formula except with cowboys. So it's like you're riding around the Wild West in parts of Texas and Mexico mm-hmm. on a horse, fending off bears and – fighting other cowboys.
I remember leveling up in that game just so I could get the zebra donkey.
I was the man who always rode the bull.
Okay.
Always had a bull because they knocked over horses. Like, they weren't as fast, but if I caught someone on their horse and they were paying attention, I could knock them off of it. So, and I liked it. Like, it's just – Rockstar handles their multiplayer well. They definitely handle it really well. And I'm curious to see if they'll ever make, like, just a bona fide online game. Like, if they'll make something like an Overwatch or – what will happen? I don't know.
Well, here's one that I don't know. Did you ever play Assassin's Creed Brotherhood online?
I didn't. I didn't play online until 3.
Okay.
But I still played it.
Because Brotherhood online, it was kind of a – the online mode was like hide and seek.
Yeah.
Where you would be an assassin trying to run around and you'd be able to blend in with whatever character you wanted and you'd have to stand around and wait for somebody else and try and get them. Mm-hmm. And the goal was to always kill other players and never civilians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you killed a civilian, though, I don't think you lost too much. It's just you lost points.
You would lose points and you would lose the ability to blend in for like a period of like 15 seconds or something, which in that game when it – the entire game lasted 2 minutes. That was a large chunk of time that you mm-hmm. just were out in the open as an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fun game to play multiplayer.
I didn't get introduced to it until Assassin's Creed 3. Like, I don't know if it was like this in Brotherhood, but like you played as like one of like 8 different types of character and you were an assassin and you could blend into those 8 different types of things. So it was like a chance.
Same concept, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like that. And there was also like a weird capture the flag one. In 3, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was cool because, like, you're parkouring around the map and people are trying to get on cutoff routes and try to stop you from dropping this. It's like, that's really cool. And then Assassin's Creed just kind of blew up. They tried to do the co-op idea and it
did not fare out at all.
Yeah, no. It did not work. They removed multiplayer after years of having it, thinking, oh, yeah, we can make it just a single-player game again. But it's got online multiplayer. It's like, wait, why? Why do we have co-op in an Assassin's Creed game?
Yeah,
those people aren't going to be relevant.
Well, hold on. Then Portal. How mm-hmm. did you feel when they added co-op to that one?
It was something that I never thought I needed.
Yeah, same. I when they announced that there was going to be a co-op mode in Portal, I was like, I'm never going to play that. Lo and behold, I played that with multiple people and did I think I played the co-op story mode more times than I played the regular story mode for Portal 2.
Yeah, Portal 2 I've probably beaten at least 10 times overall. Just because I'm a really, really big fan of Cave Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
It's just his lines are so great. And I like, I wish they would go into the story of Portal a little bit further. Like, I don't think they've released any books or anything like that. But, like,
no.
I wish they could have just because I want to find out more about it. Like, it's just, like, from the taste that they give you when you're playing the story. It's like, yes, I want to find out more about Aperture Science Labs. Yes, I want to find out what Black Mesa is. Like, I want to find out more. And it's funny because a lot of the games from Valve actually are in the same world.
Yeah, it's in the Half-Life and Portal are in the same world, which is just originally Portal was not meant to be a part of the Half-Life universe.
Well, because you're like underground. You're like just somewhere.
Yeah. And they kind of like shoehorned that in after Portal mm-hmm. became – I think that's the best thing about Portal is Portal was given for free to people as an apology for Half-Life 2 Episode 2 taking so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being a game that people remember more than Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Yeah, like, what is it? Like, yeah, Portal 2, like, it was just phenomenal. You know, like you had a great story. You had great gameplay style. You had two characters. Was it Atlas and Peabody?
Yes.
They were characters that couldn't speak a single word, but you cared for them because of their body motions and what they did and how they interacted with one another. And I want to see a third Portal. You know what I mean? I know Valve has issues with the number three, as we saw with Half-Life 2. They made
I'm still waiting for Left 4 Dead 3 that was leaked out 5 years ago.
More than that. It was leaked out a long time ago. Because I remember they were just like, they had a picture. And it's like, how did they leak this and nothing ever happened again? Like Valve just was like, shink, no, it's not happening.
They were too busy counting all their money from Steam sales.
I don't even know. That man, Gabe Newell, is just – he's made so much money. Because he's danced around the whole community. Like he used to work for Microsoft. He hated it. He made his own thing. Steam's been around since like 2004.
Oh, yeah.
He's been making a lot of money.
Before that.
Yeah. So who knows?
Because, yeah, I remember when Portal 2, the co-op mode is – it's fun to play seriously and it's fun to play jokingly.
I've had a friend who beat it on his own.
Co-op?
Mm-hmm.
What, with two controllers and
He beat Portal 2's multiplayer on his own.
But a lot of that, you had to be doing both at the same time. How did you – does he play with his feet or something?
The only time he said he had an issue is when he did actually try to play with his feet is when he had to do ones that were like almost at the exact same moment you had to do something. But outside of that, like he did most of it. It was just like you move one person one spot, like a game of chess.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I would have never figured you could play that because everything that – well, there's a couple puzzles I know you could easily do just by yourself. But for the most part, a lot of those required interaction at the same time,
I thought.
He
was that weird kid. He was the one that like 100% at every game he touched. He only played like the super niche titles, so I expected. When he said that, I was like, yeah, I know you did it. I believe you. I didn't even have to doubt that he brought someone in. I was like, no, he didn't do that. He was sitting there bored one day. So –
Yeah, so there's that. There's a lot for multiplayer games.
Yeah,
of like different kinds and everything.
Where
like
we're getting with it, you know, like the idea, like now we're getting to the idea of free to play multiplayer games. Like you don't even have to pay to start playing something with your friend. We're getting to the idea of where multiplayer is evolving. Like some genres are starting to die. Some newer genres are getting introduced, like battle royale and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the co-op idea, at least couch co-op, is kind of dying. Systems really don't do it anymore.
Which is sad because I want couch. I love couch co-op, being able to sit next to somebody and play. And when they mess up, it's just one punch away.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that same feeling with online. Like I miss doing LAN parties where you would be like, loser of this round picks up pizza. And it's like, oh, well, I got to get serious this time because I don't want to pick up pizza.
Yeah. I remember doing that with Call of Duty. Like I remember I sat there. It was me and a couple other friends playing Modern Warfare 2. And like we sat there for all night playing. It was like someone behind me, someone here, glued to the ceiling, you know, just all playing Call of Duty.
I still think one of my favorite pictures from online is the guy that's duct taped to the ceiling rafter in a basement.
Just so he can play some.
Just so he could play whatever game it was.
And I was like, I was sitting here like, that's not going to work. He's playing. It's working. God.
How is the duct? If I recall correctly, there's a couple images from it. Like one of them is just a shot from looking up at him and it's just duct tape holding him up to the beam for holding up the house in the basement when he has his laptop sitting on like a box at just perfect level for him. Another one is showing him eating pizza and stuff like he was there for the night.
Well, I mean, the idea of going to the bathroom was just over. It's like, all right, you better get it out now. You're getting up there. It's like, what are you going to do? Cut him out and drop him?
Somebody hold up the Gatorade bottle.
You can't even hold up the Gatorade bottle. Need some lemonade, dude.
But yeah, I miss LAN parties a lot. Those are some of the best times I can remember playing games with people.
I wish the idea of like internet cafes and stuff like that really hit here. Because I would have been that person that was sitting there, you know, say, hey, let's go. Let's go play some League of Legends in a bar somewhere.
Yeah, they really tried that, too, in a couple places. There were two very prominent ones around the Shelby Macomb area where I was growing up at the time. And they both kind of competed with each other without competing with each other. I actually worked at one of them for a little bit of time when I was getting a start in IT. And it was something that was there, but yeah, it just never took off the way that it took off in Japan and other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's mostly because internet here was more widely available because people would just go, well, why would I go pay $15 to play there for the day when I can just go home and do it with the internet I have there?
That I pay for monthly.
That I pay for monthly.
Yeah. So I guess it's because of that. Yeah, I guess in other countries that do it, like the housing situations are so weird that a lot of people can't get those amenities at home. Or they can finesse the system and like live in an internet cafe for cheaper than it is living at home.
And then die of dehydration.
Yeah, because they don't eat. Yeah. They just sit there and play games all day. So,
but that is all the time that we have here today. But as always, you can catch us online at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram /8BitWaffles. And you can catch a backlog of our episodes and tell us what your favorite multiplayer games are, your favorite multiplayer experiences. Let us know what they are. And next time, we will see you on the breakfast table.